Welcome back to our final shiur in our Hanukkah series. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by the Spector family in honor of Simi's father, Shaul ben Chanoch Henoch, Alav HaShalom. We thank them very much for sponsoring our shiur tonight. And we're going to conclude with a very exciting topic that hopefully will uplift and enhance our experience of Hanukkah in just a few weeks. I'm sure many of us will have some get-together, some gathering, whether it's a family gathering or part of the shul, to have a special suda, chagiga, to celebrate Hanukkah. And what I want to analyze together tonight is what is the precise status of such a meal in the eyes of the halacha? That's the first question that we're going to deal with in this year. And the second question is, what does this whole topic reflect about our experience of Hanukkah more generally? So let's begin from source number one in the Maror Makomos. For this year, we use the Hebrew Maror Makomos. If anybody needs, there's more on this table over here. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, has a famous braisa. It says, "My Hanukkah." The Gemara asks, "What is Hanukkah?" Such an intriguing question. The Tanur Rabbanon. So the braisa states, "B'chafei b'kislev yomei de Hanukkah tamna tamanya einun," and the 25th of Kislev, we have 8 days of Hanukkah, and there are certain halachos that apply to those days, and the Gemara goes on to detail why it is that we celebrate those days. And then at the very end, the last line in the source, L'shano acheres, another year the Chachamim came along, and kavum va'asa'um yamim tovim b'halel v'hoda'a. They established these 8 days as yamim tovim, with halel, with praise and hoda'a, an expression of gratitude. So this phrase, that Hanukkah is a series of Yamim Tovim B'Halel V'Hoda'a, this is a very, 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 very critical phrase for our topic tonight. What exactly does this mean, Yamim Tovim B'Halel V'Hoda'a? So Rashi, in source number 2, explains that what the Gemara means to say is that these days are not prohibited B'Malacha. One is not prohibited from doing work during the 8 days of Hanukkah. When it comes to any other yontif in the Torah, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, so of course we're prohibited from doing malacha on the day of yontif. Therefore, the Gemara here says that Hanukkah was established as a yontif, but a specific, particular type of yontif. A yontif b'halel v'hodah. It's a yontif for expressing gratitude. So Rashi says that means that it's not a yontif with respect to doing work, meaning that you're allowed to do work. The establishment of these days was just to be able to recite Halel and also say the paragraph of Alanisim in the bracha of Modim. That's Rashi's opinion. And then in source number 3, the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, Paragimel Halacha Gimel, he also codifies this Gemara. And he says, so the Chachamim during that generation established, these 8 days that start from the 25th of Kislev, what should they be? Yimei Simcha V'Halel. These of joy and expression of praise. Okay. So we have Rashi and the Rambam's interpretation of the Gemara. Based on the Gemara, Rashi, and the Rambam, if I were to ask you the question, is there a mitzvah to have a meal on Hanukkah, what would you say? No. Okay, so says Jerome that Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar, quoting the Gemara Pesachim Kuftes, that the mitzvah to Oraisa of Simcha is only with the meat of Kachin. Okay, that's true. So you want to say there's no mitzvah of Simchas Yontif on Hanukkah. That is certainly correct. No one debates that. However, is there a mitzvah to have a suda? So the Rambam says you mean simcha b'hala. So what do you want to extrapolate from there? Ah, very good. So Jerome is mechavin to the Yam Shal Shlomo in source number 5, to Rab Shlomo Luria. The Yam Shal Shlomo is the main opinion that holds that there is a mitzvah to have a suda on Hanukkah. He says this in source number 5. V'osan sudos ha'osim b'mei Hanukkah. The meals that people make on Hanukkah, nira shem sudos mitzvah. These are, I don't know if we would call them, it's hard to know whether the lashon, the language, the formulation of mitzvah in this context means a chova, meaning it's an absolute obligation, it's something that you must do, or does it mean mitzvah, meaning that it's not something that there's an obligation, but it's more that if you do it, then it is considered a fulfillment in the eyes of the halacha. It seems more like the latter than the former. Yeah, Lenny.
I don't know of anybody who has a Hanukkah. I mean, people have Hanukkah parties, but you don't sit down in your house and have a Hanukkah meal. Well, you'll have latkes, you'll have some ganyo,
yeah,
and you'll add-ons.
Right.
But no one has a specific Hanukkah meal.
Right. Exactly. So
not like Purim.
There's so that's part of our discussion tonight. Okay, so let's get back to the Yamshel Shlomo. Let's explain where he gets this from. So again, Rav Shlomo Luria, he holds that there is a mitzvah to have a Suda on Chanukah. Where did he get this from? So number one, he interprets the words in the Gemara, Yamim Tovim, as saying that we should treat Chanukah the same way that we treat a Yom Tov. Definitional to a Yom Tov is having a Suda. Since Chanukah is considered like a Yom Tov, therefore Chanukah needs to have a Suda. Point number one. Point number two, the Rav Shlomo Luria infers from the Rambam, exactly as Jerome did, that the days of Chanukah are Yimei Simcha. What does Simcha mean in halachic literature? So Simcha means, exactly as Lenny said, the pasuk in the Megillah, which says that Purim are Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. What do we learn from Yimei Mishta V'Simcha? That you must have a meal on Purim. Says the Maharshal, that just as on Purim, a meal is certainly a mitzvah, not only is it a mitzvah, it's an absolute chova, so too on Chanukah, Yimei Simcha, and the Rambam, the comparison to Purim, it's also a mitzvah. And point number three, the Maharshal argues that even Rashi would agree with this stance. He says, Rashi excludes one thing from the status of Yom Tov. What does Rashi exclude? Isser Malach. So says the Maharshal, Rashi could have gone farther. He could have said, it excludes Isser Malacha, meaning that there's no Isser to do Malacha, and there's no Chiyuv Suda. But Rashi didn't say that. The only thing that Rashi said was that you don't have to stop from doing work. So the implication from Rashi is that you are obligated to have a meal. So, you know, when all said and done, the Maharshal holds, without a doubt, that there is a mitzvah to have a Suda on Chanukah from these three pieces of evidence, from the Gemara, the Rambam, and Rashi. Dovi.
So, when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, the mitzvah derisa is basar.
Good.
So you also see mitzvah derisa without basar.
True.
And by Purim, the main mitzvah is...
The idea to have a Suda on Yom Tov is because...
That's Simcha, that's just... It's Yom Tov, so it's an important day. So we have,
I'm
not sure
that's
Simcha.
I hear what you're saying, meaning when we have a Suda on Yom Tov, that's really more a function of Kavod,
right?
Of Kavod and Oneg, and less so of Simcha, which is defined as having meat. But nonetheless, the Maharshal is seeing in the word Simcha, at least, that, I mean, we see from the Megillah that Simcha is associated with having a meal. Yes, you do have to wash on the Purim.
You do.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the comparison to Chanukah. Okay, so that's the Yamshel Shlomo. Now, is there any counter-argument? So when I first posed the question, do you think from these sources that there should be a mitzvah to have a Suda on Chanukah? So Barry gave the opposite opinion. Barry said no. So Barry was saying, like the Maharam Meirutenberg, who is brought in the tour in source number 4. Vahya Omer Harame Rutenburg Zal, Sheribui Hasuda, the increase of meals, Shemar B'mohen, Hein Sudas Harishus. They are optional meals. Why? Shalokavu Elalahala Lulahodos. What does the Gemara say about the Yom Tov of Chanukah? That it's designated for a specific purpose. What is that? Halal and Hoda'a. So infers the Maharam from there, Vilo Mishta V'Simcha. Chanukah is different from Purim. On Purim, we have a pasuk in the Megillah that says, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha, you have to have a meal. But on Chanukah, the Gemara here seems to be contrasting Chanukah with Purim. And so says the Maharam, that a suda on Hanukkah would be a suda sushu, so you can enjoy your latkes and your sukkaniyot, but there's not going to be any mitzvah involved with this. So we have two opinions on the poles. On the one hand, we have the Yamshal Shlomo, who believes that this is the position of the Rambam as well, that there's a mitzvah to have a suda. On the other hand, we have the Maharam Meirutenberg. Are there any practical ramifications to this? So if you take a look at sources number 6 and 7, there's an interesting debate amongst the Rishonim between the Bahag and the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah was Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Yoel HaLevi. He lived in the 1100s in Germany. About what happens if in benching you forget to say Alanisim. We know that we say Alanisim on Hanukkah, both in davening and also in benching. Let's say that during benching you forget to say Alanisim. Do you have to go back and repeat benching once again? So we paskin that you don't, exactly. We say that you do not have to, and that's in line with the position of the Halachos Gedolos, says that there's no obligation to repeat benching, and he ascribes some reasoning to that psak. Says that the Bahag, Avo Besuda de Reshus, Lochi Avu Rabban. When you have an optional Suda, so this is always the rule. If you don't have a bona fide Chiyuv, you don't have a bona fide obligation to have your Suda, then you don't have to repeat the benching. So that's the same reason why on Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh, it's a good, you should have a Suda, it's a good thing to have a Suda, might be a mitzvah to have a Suda, but there's no bona fide obligation. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh that if you forget to say Ya'alav Yavo, you don't have to repeat the benching. So to here says the Bahag on Hanukkah, if you forget to say Al Anisim, you don't have to repeat the benching because the Suda at the end of the day is Rishus. However, comes along the Rav Yoh and says Ubebirkas Hamazon Machzirin Osel. When it comes to benching on Hanukkah, we do compel a person to repeat the benching. Why? Look at this, Dovi. Both Hanukkah and Purim are considered Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha. What seems to emerge from the Rav Yoh's analysis is that we see with respect to Mikra Megillah, with respect to Purim, that Purim is a day of Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha, where you have to have a meal. And what we're deriving from there is that a Yom Tov D'Rabbanan, a rabbinic holiday, has certain features to it. And Purim sets the paradigm that one of the features of a rabbinic holiday is that it has a meal. So too Hanukkah, which is the parallel rabbinic holiday, also has the obligation of having a meal. And so says the Rav Yoh, that because there's an obligation, therefore you would have to repeat the bench. We paskin in accordance with the Bahag that one does not need to repeat the benching. But nonetheless, this is a nice demonstration, a nice litmus test of these two different opinions in the halacha as to whether the suda is a chiyuv or a rishus. Now, when we ask ourselves, what really underlies this debate? What are they arguing about? If we're trying to really get to the core of the reasoning here. So the debate between the Maharshal and the Maharam Meirutenberg may really pertain to an essential point about Hanukkah and something that we've raised in the previous two shiurim. We've noted a potential distinction between Hanukkah and Purim regarding the nes that happened, what the threat was, what the salvation was, and therefore what the celebration is. When it comes to Purim, the threat was to physical existence. Every single Jewish person, regardless of your religious observance, was under threat, right? Their life was in danger. So comes along the Yeshua, and basically the salvation is that everybody gets to live, and therefore the celebration takes place within the physical realm. This is an idea that's brought down in the Bach, and the Levush, and the Mishnah Berurah. The celebration is in the physical realm. That's why we emphasize the Suda on Purim. Hanukkah is the exact opposite. On Hanukkah, the threat was not as much to physical existence as to spiritual existence. If, according to the Yevanim, if we were willing to relinquish our religious commitments, we could continue living on. So the whole idea was that our religious devotion was under threat. We had the salvation, and therefore the celebration of that comes in the spiritual realm. So the way that we emphasize that is by saying we're not going to have a physical meal on Hanukkah. We're not going to celebrate in the physical space. Rather, it's Yomim Tovim Behalel Behodah, singing songs of praise to God. That is the way to celebrate the days of Hanukkah. That seems to be the idea that underlies the position of the Maharam Rotenberg. From one vantage point, we specifically don't want to have an obligation to have a Suda on Hanukkah, because we want to distinguish the nature of the holiday, of the celebration, from that of Purim. How would the Maharshal respond? He might say, that's all fine and good, but at the end of the day, if we're considering this a Yom Tov, if we're considering this a rabbinic holiday, and definitional to a rabbinic holiday is that you have a meal, so then you have to have a meal. He probably wouldn't disagree with the fundamental point that the nature of the holiday is more spiritual than physical, but if definitional to the holiday is that you have to have a meal, so then there's nothing more to question. End of section one of the Shir. That's the debate between the Rishonim as to whether there's a mitzvah or a reshus to have a suda on Hanukkah. Section number two gets going from a comment of the Rambam. You could turn to you to the second side, and this is source number 8. So you see that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Maharam Rutenberg, that the meals on Hanukkah are optional. And the Rambam comes along and he says, V'yash omrim, shiyash k'tzas mitzvah b'ribe hasudo. Some say that there's a little bit, shred of a mitzvah, maybe because on Hanukkah, that's when we inaugurated the altar once again to be able to sacrifice. And then he adds something very, very intriguing, enigmatic, you might even say. V'noagin lomar zmiros u'shvachos b'sudo shemar b'mohem. We have the practice to sing songs of praise to God during these meals. The Oz Have Sudas Mitzvah. And then the Suda, which started out as an optional meal, gets transformed into a mitzvah meal. And in the Darkei Moshe, which is the Rama's commentary on the Torah, he quotes this from the Sefer Minhagim of Rabbi Isaac of Tirna. This comes from earlier Rishonim. What is this idea? That we can sing during a meal? And thereby, just like that, you sing one song, and now you transformed what really was a Sudas Rishus. There was no need before you sing to have this meal. But now that you sing, you turn it into a Sudas Mitzvah? What's going on here? And in fact, some of the Achronim, based on the Mordechai, even expand this allowance of the Rambam. And they apply it to other types of meals which wouldn't be considered a Sudas Mitzvah. If you look at the Magen Avram in source number 10, so he extends it to a marriage between the daughter of a Talmud Chacham and an Ama Aretz. So nowadays we don't really have the same status of Ama Aretz that used to exist during the times of Shas. But in the times of the Tanoim and Amoraim, so when the daughter of a scholar got married to an Ama Aretz, that was considered a Sudas Rishus. Didn't have the status of a Sudas Mitzvah. Comes along the Mordechai and later Achronim and say that at such a ceremony, at such a wedding, if they were to sing songs of Shirim V'Sishbachos, you were to bring in a beautiful band and have nice halig dancing. So what would be? It would be considered a Sudas Mitzvah. Comes the Prima Gadim in source number 11 of Yosef Ta'omim, 1700s in Poland. Prima Gadim comments on the Magen Avraham and he says, I don't understand. If we found this loophole, that all you have to do is join arms and start singing some songs, so what's the whole idea, what's the whole distinction between a Sudas Rishus and a Sudas Mitzvah? It all flies out the window. The whole thing is a joke. Just start singing some songs, and then you turn it into a Sudas Mitzvah. What's going on over here? So there are some who make the argument that maybe, you know why Hanukkah and a wedding, they're different from other meals. Why? Because the motivator, the cause for the meal was a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to get married. There's a mitzvah to celebrate Hanukkah. So the cause for the meal was a mitzvah. If, you just got together with some friends on a Tuesday night and, you were just enjoying yourselves, but there was nothing in the background, there was nothing in the context of a mitzvah, and then you started singing some songs, so everybody would agree, yeah, that's not a Sudas Mitzvah. But when the motivator for it is a mitzvah, so then fine. But what I wanted to suggest tonight is that perhaps there is unique grounds to argue that this allowance of singing songs at a Suda's Chanukah and thereby transforming the Suda from a Shus into Mitzvah, maybe it's a particular element of Chanukah in specific. So why would we say something like that? So the truth is, when we zoom out for a second, the 8 days of Chanukah, as the Gemara says, are Yamin Tovim B'Halel V'Hoda. What that suggests is that the very theme of Chanukah, the entire essence of the day, is to express praise and thanksgiving to the Ribono Shel Olam for having saved us. And it's on this basis that we can explain a lot of quirks, a lot of eccentricities when it comes to Chanukah. For example, there is an accentuated role of Hallel on Chanukah. If you look in the Rambam, let me ask this question. Where would you think that the Rambam would codify the halachos of Hallel? Kind of gave away the answer already. But, right? So you might have thought in Hilchos Yom Tov. Yeah? Maybe in Hilchos Pesach. But no. The Rambam doesn't choose any, not Hilchos Yom Tov, not any of the biblical holidays. You know where the Rambam introduces the halachos of Hallel? Not only introduces them, but has a whole treatise on the halachos of Hallel in the third chapter of Hilchos Chanukah. And not only that, but Mori Verdabi or Rosenzweig pointed out so beautifully and poignantly that the Rambam does this in a very, very interesting way. The Rambam begins the Perek by discussing the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. What's the mitzvah on Chanukah? To light candles. Then after that, he transitions into talking about the mitzvah of Hallel. And then after that, he returns to talking about the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. Now you have to understand, the Rambam is the master organizer. He is probably the best organizer in the entire Jewish tradition. He knows what he's doing. Why would he separate? What? Get all of Neros Chanukah done and then talk about Hallel. Or talk about Hallel first and then talk about Neros Chanukah. What's with this false start? Neros Chanukah, oh, hold on a second, I got to talk to you about Hallel. Then I'll return to Neros Chanukah. What's going on? So explains to Rosenzweig that Hallel is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. We might even say as follows. Go back to the Gemara. Yomim Tovim B'Hallel V'Hoda'a. What's Hallel V'Hoda'a? So Rashi in source number 2, Hallel means Hallel. And what's Hoda'a? Rashi says in source number 2, V'Lomar Al Hanisim B'Hoda'a. Hoda'a, the expression of gratitude according to Rashi, is the recitation of Al Hanisim. The Rambam, however, never mentions Al Hanisim in Hilchos Chanukah. Only in Hilchos Tefillah. For the Rambam, Al Hanisim was not what the word Hoda'a means. If you look at source number 3, so he says, Yemei Simcha V'Hallel, and then how does the Rambam continue? U'madlikin bohen haneros bo'erev apischei habatim. It almost seems as if when the Rambam is recording the Gemara of Yamim Tov B'Hallel V'Hoda'a, that he's translating or interpreting the word Hoda'a as a code word for the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros. The Maisa mitzvah, the act that's incumbent upon us on Chanukah, to light candles according to the Rambam, is itself an expression of gratitude. Take a look at source number 14, the Mishnas Yaivetz of Bitzalel Jolti, chief rabbi of Yerushalayim in the 1900s, he says exactly like this. Lachin nira bidas harambam, it seems to me to explain the position of the Rambam. De mefarish hada amru hoda'a. Skip to the third line, vahainu, that is, she'etzem hadlokas ner Chanukah. The essence of the mitzvah of lighting ner Chanukah, shehu mishum persumei nisa, which is to do what? To publicize the miracle? Zehu Hoda'a al Hanis. Kindling that candle is itself an expression of praise and thanksgiving. So now it makes perfect sense. Why did the Rambam start Neros Chanukah, then transition into Hallel, then come back to Neros Chanukah? Because what the Rambam was trying to teach us was that these two are intertwined. They're inseparable. If you want to know about the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, you have to know about Hallel. And it's almost like if you want to know about Hallel, you also have to know about the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. Because the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah is the mitzvah that we have on the books where someone does an act which itself is defined as an expression of gratitude and an expression of thanks. Rav Rosenzweig continued, I think in a different shir. I don't know, it gets mixed up in my head. But he made the following point. Two shirim ago, we spoke about the recitation of Haneros Halalu, right? And remember we spoke about, when do you say Haneros Halalu? Do you say it while you're lighting the candles? Or do you wait until after you're lighting the candles? So there we were speaking about it, regarding the significance of the first candle. But tonight we're going to make an additional point. Rosenzweig explained that perhaps the idea to say Haneros Halalu while you're lighting the candles is exactly this point. You want to add articulation of praise while you're doing the act of lighting the candles, because that expresses the idea of lighting. The whole idea of lighting is an act of hodah. So say Haneros Halalu Kodeshim, and therefore we're praising Hashem by doing exactly what we're doing, by kindling those lights. So these days of Hanukkah are Yamim Tovim Bahalo de Hoda'ah. What that means is that the theme of Hanukkah is Halal de Hoda'ah. It's not just that it comes to exclude something else, or that it comes to emphasize that we're singing Halal de Hoda'ah these days. It's that the entire Mechayiv, the entire purpose of the days of Hanukkah, was for Halel v'Hodah. So if that's the case, then we can bring it, we can bring it back home. Now we can understand the Rama's compromise of singing Shirim v'Sishbachos, of singing songs of praise during the Suda's Hanukkah, changing it from Rishus into Mitzvah. It's not a loophole. That's not like something, just do that, so that way you change it into a mitzvah. If you were to do it on a Tuesday night, no way. And according to some, even if you were to do it at a wedding, it wouldn't work. Specifically, at Sudas Chanukah, if you take a look at source number 13, the Sefer Piskei Tshuva quotes from the Chidushei Harim, the first Ger Rebbe. We've been quoting the Sfas Emes a lot this year. So the originator of Chassidus of Gur, the Chidushei Harim, says what? That it's rak b'Chanukah shekavum lahodos b'Halel v'Hodah, specifically on Chanukah, which was established for days of praise and thanksgiving, hava sudas mitzvah al yedei shirim v'sishbachos. That's when singing those songs is going to have that transformative power, because by singing during a sudas Chanukah, you're tapping in to the exact theme of the day. So how could it not be a Sudas Mitzvah? You're doing exactly what we're supposed to be achieving on the days of Hanukkah. So for me, this is always what I try to remind myself before I have a family get-together or any celebratory time together with my family or others on Hanukkah. Yes, Lenny, we're going to love the Sufganiyot and the Lakas. But if we can sing those songs, then it's not just a cute vehicle. It's not just something nice on the side. By singing and with genuineness and authenticity, so we're really tapping into exactly what Hanukkah is all about, Yimei Halel Vehoda. So wish everybody a beautiful upcoming Hanukkah, and hopefully our previous three shiurim will uplift our experience.